Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Monster Legend Podcast. In the dark of the night comes a shimmering light to guide you all along the twisted roads in your mind. Darkness grows and the whispering trees blow a dark haunting breeze right through you, telling tales young and old. I hope that you enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. Today is Monster Legend Podcast, and we have a special episode with Brendan. How are you doing, man?
Hey, Tanner. Good. How about you, man?
Doing great. How about this channel you have here called Master Talk? What's it about?
Yeah, for sure. So Master Talk is a YouTube channel I started to help the world master the art of public speaking communication. I realized with everything that I was doing in corporate and consulting and university, that a lot of the content on YouTube on public speaking is really terrible. So I thought I would make some videos for people so they can learn and grow from there.
Nice. Well, what's the difference between like public speaking in like a corporate setting versus like a university setting and like on YouTube? Is there a difference between
those two? Yeah, of course. So with corporate, there's specific constraints in your presentations. This is your boss comes up to you and says, Tanner, I need you to present this and this topic. Well, that's what you're going to present and that's what you have to do. There's not as much creativity as you'd like. In a university or just a setting where you're presenting something that you're passionate about, something you want to give, in that type of setting, the constraints start to lower. So in university, you'll still have some guidelines that you need to follow, but you still have a lot more room to be creative in those types of presentations. And then if you go to something like YouTube, that's a completely different style of presenting. Like when I started YouTube myself, I was terrible, even if I'd presented hundreds of times. And the reason is because in an in-person presentation, you can feed off the energy of your audience. So let's say you're speaking to 50 people. You can say, okay, Tanner's watching. He seems to be enjoying this content. Let me feed off his energy, his positivity. You can't do that on video. Because yeah. You're alone in your basement and there's nobody to talk to.
Yeah, you're talking to a camera.
Yeah, so it's challenging for me. Even this used to be very challenging for me too.
What's the like biggest tip you can give someone like when they're first publicly speaking?
Yeah, for sure. I would say the big thing is finding your public speaking why. The issue with public speaking is not actually practicing it, but rather having an incentive to practice. So let's say you want to get the next promotion at work. You have a cause that you care about, or more importantly, you're like the CEO of an idea, not necessarily a company, but an idea or a movement that you care about. You want to crystallize that reason why you want to master communication. Then after you're very clear, you'll want to practice more consistently. And then the second thing I'd recommend is joining a community of accountability. So a Toastmasters group, it's a public speaking organization, super cheap to join. That's a great way to really build that community so that you stay accountable. Then you can watch the videos and learn more about communication and start getting into the tactics.
Nice. I remember, you guys ever be in school, like teacher call you up in front of the class and read your essay? Always hated that. It was nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I did too. Like, just to give you context on my story, when I was 5 years old, my parents told me I had to go to French school because in Montreal, where I'm from, you have to know how to speak French or else you can't really do well in the business world or really in any job market in the city. But the issue was I didn't speak a word of French. So not only was I uncomfortable presentations my whole life, I had to give presentations in a language I didn't even know. So, So it was definitely challenging. I can relate.
When did you first start your channel?
Yeah, so I started. So I've been coaching people on public speaking since I was 19. So it was just something that I love to do. It was, I used to do these things called case competitions. So think of it like professional sports, like the NBA or the NFL, but for nerds. So instead of presenting three or rather doing exercises three or four times, your coach is yelling at you. We did that with presentations. So I presented hundreds of times over the last couple of years. And then I was coaching people. And then 3 years into coaching, you know, people one-on-one, university students, a lot of people just asked me like how I learned how to speak. And if I, you know, if I shared YouTube resources or things like that, or if I was listening to any YouTube videos, I would just look at them and go, what do you mean? Like, why would anyone watch a YouTube video on public speaking? Then I started watching a lot of my competition. I realized how terrible it was. So I started in January 2019. So I've been doing it for 18 months now on YouTube.
How's YouTube been for you?
It's been fun. It's challenging. I think the advice I have for people is, depending on what sport you want to play, whether it's cooking, you know, baking, podcasting, starting a YouTube channel, getting a great job out of school, you really need to understand your sport. So for me with YouTube, the biggest benefit is if you actually post once a week for 10 years consistently, you will probably become very successful on YouTube, even if your content isn't great, because you're very consistent, right? That's the challenge with YouTube. Just most creators, you know, they try and get in for like the quick buck or quick anything. I still haven't monetized my channel. I'm 18 months in, right? Wow. So it's really about understanding like what is the 5-10 year game that I'm playing. Why am I actually doing this channel? Who's it for? What's it for? And who's benefiting? And if you're not clear on those elements, you're going to give up really quickly on YouTube. Yeah. All right. So that's my take.
Great. I used to have like a YouTube channel, like doing Let's Plays, and it was a hassle. Remember, like every week you have to keep up with doing a video every week, and you got school and job and everything. It's like, if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know what you're doing it for, like you said, you get lost in it. You just give up on it early.
I had
too much college going on at the time. I had to stop doing it.
Exactly. You know, that's the thing. It's so easy for people to you know, start something and just go, you know, enough time. Just to give you an idea of how I think about YouTube, I make my videos a year in advance. So all of my videos this year are already done. So I don't run into those types of issues. Now I'm writing my content for next year. But it goes to show you, to your audience, how serious I take the platform, right? In the same way you're spending a lot more time on the podcast, I do the same thing with YouTube. So as long as you're very focused on what you want to achieve, what the goals are, then you can push forward.
Advice for like any topic, really. Yeah. Anything you want to do. Your coaching been affected by this COVID thing?
Yeah, lots of ways. So, a lot of my speaking revenue went to zero because I usually do speaking engagements around the you know, the place, you know, flying out to different cities and giving talks or corporate trainings. So that didn't do so well. That didn't go so well for me, which is okay. That's life. So I think the strategy is more about, this is what happened. That's okay. How do you pivot? What are the new opportunities that exist? So I'll give you an example. Since my goal at the end of the day is to be the number one YouTuber on public speaking, I don't mind giving speeches for free or, you know, coming on podcasts and adding value, because all I want to do is promote the YouTube channel, right? So what happened with Toastmasters is there's 16,000 clubs around the world where like little groups of people where they practice public speaking every week. Well, what happened with COVID is all of their meetings suddenly went virtual. They all went online. So that gave me an amazing opportunity. I just started pitching myself. I said, I'll come give you a free keynote. And they would all, so I would start to join clubs from around the world. So I was in one in the UK a couple weeks ago, India, that I did a lot in my home city. So I've just been doing Toastmaster presentations every day. So there's always an opportunity if you're willing to take it.
Nice. What's the difference between like doing something like in person presentation versus like virtual.
Yeah, absolutely. So in person is in a lot of ways a lot easier than a virtual presentation. Let me explain why. So let's say me and Tanner are in a presentation together. I know your reaction. I know how you're gauging to what I'm saying. I can see the emotion and I can feed off of that energy. I don't have that luxury necessarily in an online presentation. A good analogy I like to give is telling a joke. If I tell a joke, Tanner's sitting there in the room. He's either going to laugh or he's not going to laugh. So he's either going to find it funny. Oh, that's a funny joke. Or he's going to say, this is terrible. It's not funny. But at least I know, right? I know what the game. Online, you don't even have that luxury. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is you need to tell a joke and assume it's funny. You need to say something smart and assume it's smart. And that requires a lot of confidence, but I'm sure it's something everyone can master. But one way I can help you all think through this is if you can present really well virtually, when you go back to in-person presentations, you'll be a superstar.
It's like in Montreal.
Oh, the city?
Yeah.
Yeah, the city's nice. It's an interesting place where we all speak two languages at the same time. So most of the people who live in the city are, well, I come to the States a lot, you know, LA and different parts of the US. Mm-hmm. But in Montreal, it's particular in the sense that everyone speaks English and French at the same time. So if you don't know one of the two languages, you kind of miss half the conversation, which is interesting. But yeah, no, I love it here. It's why I just stay here and I get to enjoy this space here as well.
That one dish in Canada that's like potatoes and something. What's it called?
The what's
it called? That was her like a famous dish in Canada.
Poutine.
Yeah, poutine. Yes, thank you. How's that? I always want to try some.
Oh, you need to try it, man. It's amazing. So for those who don't know, poutine is fries. It's not very healthy, though, I'll admit. It's fries with gravy on it and cheese curds. So it's nice. it's quite the treat. Let's just say I don't eat it as much as I don't eat it that much because it's not very healthy. But man, when I eat it, I savor it. That's for sure.
Sounds like down here in the South, we have like biscuits and gravy and sausage.
I gotta try some of that if I'm ever in Tennessee.
So where'd you grow up at? You grew up in Montreal?
You got it. Born and raised. So I lived there my whole life.
Nice. I was wanting to like travel the world and stuff, but it's expensive. Plus like, everything's like close. Can't really go nowhere right now anyway.
You know, I think what I realized is as long as you prioritize the right things, you'll always have money. So let's say, for example, your goal is to travel. Okay, what's the cost of that? Okay, that means I need to spend less on buying a house or getting a car or sacrificing on other things. And that's what I've done with Master. Like, just to give your audience an idea, say I have a six-figure corporate job, but I don't own a car. I live with my mom. I barely own anything. And I do that because my priority is reinvesting it in the YouTube channel and traveling. So that's where I spend my money. So it's all about prioritizing what you actually care about.
Nice. So go way to put it like a focus. Got what you want to do. It's really good.
Absolutely. Focus is everything. Because society conditions us to think a certain way, right? Oh, Tanner, you should get married, have kids, live in a house with a two-picket fence, and that's your life. And you're kind of there like, why are we doing this? Why is that a thing? Versus just saying, if I were to model my own life, what would that life look like? For me, it doesn't look like any of those things. Maybe I'll have kids, but like besides the white picket fence thing, the house thing, doesn't make sense to me, right? So it's all about figuring out what makes sense for you.
Sure. What's been your favorite place to visit on your travels?
Yeah, so I'm a bit more particular with my travel. So a lot of people, what they do on vacation is they go to like Hawaii or Tahiti, or, you know, they enjoy, like they sit on a beach for a week. I hate that. I don't like wasting my time, right? I like having conversations like this. I like creating, I like building. So every time I go on vacation, I actually don't pick the location. The conference picks it for me. So let's say, for instance, one of my favorite events is this event called Summit of Greatness. It's a podcaster named Lewis Howes who hosts it every year. That's in the middle of nowhere. It's in Columbus, Ohio. But I go to Columbus every year, not this year because it got moved, but you know, like every other year, just to go talk to the people there because the people who attend the event are fantastic. Yeah. I'm also going to Estonia next year for another conference where a lot of cool people will be at for a month. It's called Mind Valley University. So the idea is I always invest my time and resources to just go meet people like me.
Nice. I love meeting new people. It's really interesting how, like, where they come from and their feel, you know.
Completely agree.
So, how do you deal with, like, haters on YouTube?
Yeah, haters. Okay, let's have a talk about this one. So the idea is, much like any sport, and this is true with anything, okay? Yeah. Let's evaluate this. If you're at the bottom, people are going to ignore you.
Yeah.
If you're in the middle, people won't think you're going to make it. And if you're at the top, right? If you're at the absolute top, people will try and bring you down. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Where you're out of the cycle. There's always going to be people who don't like what you do. And I'm a good example of this. I'm just a guy who's making YouTube videos for people on public speaking. No swearing, no like opinionated content, just free stuff, no paywall, just value. And I still get hate, right? So it goes to show you, it doesn't matter what you build, you're always going to get hate. So what you need to ask yourself is what matters more to you? Other people's judgments of what you're doing or the overarching mission of what you're trying to achieve. So for me, I'm like every other human. I get bothered by it when people, you know, call me out on things that make no sense or things like that. But I always remember why I'm doing this. Not for the money, not for this extra paycheck, but rather because there are people out there in the world who are suffering from a poor ability to communicate their ideas properly. So movements don't get started, ideas don't get shared, and inventions don't become public because people don't want to share their ideas. So, and they can't afford it. Yeah, it sucks. So and the only person that is going to do anything about it is me. I have to share the videos.
Yeah.
I don't do it, no one else will. Right. So that's why I'm very, focused on who I'm helping rather than who's trying to take me down.
Yeah, I think that people say, like, you do you. Do what you want to do. Don't worry about the haters. It's all that matters, really. And they.
100%.
Yeah. That's a good point about the stifling, like, innovation and ideas. I haven't thought about that. I mean, like I thought about it, but I like hasn't crossed my mind lately. It's weird.
Yeah, like another thing I could add here is people don't really realize who the real enemy is. You know, they think it's their neighbor, the person who's hates them, you know, their coworkers. The real enemy though is time. Time is the ultimate equalizer. And once you realize that it was time all along, you don't know when you're going to go, you don't know how you're going to go, you don't know when you're going to go, that should motivate you to say, well, regardless of all of the troubles in my life, I got 40 years to play this game, so how am I going to play it? Then from there, you get really clear on what you need to do.
So, my brother-in-law is like, we got like one life to live. We do everything we want to do in this life. You know? That's good. Really smart, by the way.
Really. It's all about adding value wherever I can, man.
Exactly. What's been your favorite ever coach at any colleges or anything like that?
Did you ask me about coaches? Is that what you said?
Do you ever ever did like a presentation at a college or anything?
A petition?
Or a college presentation?
Oh yeah, yeah, college. Sorry about that, Tanner. So yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh. So I went to university. So a lot of the presentations I gave were college related or university related. And to be honest, I never really liked my classroom presentation. They're really boring. What was really fun was when I was competed in competition. So just to give you an idea of how crazy this world was, there are literally people from Thailand who would fly out to Montreal, pay $10,000 of entry fees, hotel, accommodations, food, all these expenses that their school covers, just to present PowerPoint slides.
What the?
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, people from Florida, like the University of Florida would come, Georgetown would come. A lot of universities from around the world would come to Montreal just to present slides. Wow. Yeah, it was a crazy world. That's why I learned so quickly. Like, I started MasterTalk when I was 22, right? So I'm fairly young for a speech coach. So the reason is because I just compressed decades worth of knowledge into a few years.
Who was like the forefather of like public speaking knowledge?
I wish I knew. No one's asking. I guess I'm the new brown forefather.
Yeah.
I can talk about my mentors though if you want, but I don't really know the history though, unfortunately.
Yeah, let's talk about your mentors.
Yeah, for sure. So someone I look up to a lot, especially if people are looking for a read or book recommendations, is this guy named Scott Harrison. So Scott Harrison is the CEO and founder of Charity Water. So it's a nonprofit organization that looks to provide clean drinking water for the world. What's really interesting about Scott is the way that he uses storytelling to increase the number of funds that he gets for his charity. So he has a particular model where there's two bank accounts in the charity. One of them, and he calls it the 100% model, one of it, all the money goes to the charity. You know, you donate $30 a month, I donate $30 a month, whatever. And then the second account is all of the overhead costs. So he gets a bunch of rich people to fund all the overhead. So the way that he structured the organization is really smart. And I also like the way that he thinks. And he's been a big mentor for me. So I highly recommend his book. It's called Thirst by Scott Harrison. It's been endorsed by a lot of famous people. You know, Bill Gates, Richard Branson, Brené Brown, Arianna Huffington. So that's a great read.
Nice. Where can they find that book? Like on Amazon, I guess.
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon. It's a New York Times bestseller, so you can like go on Audible and just download it, or you can buy it off Amazon.
What's been your favorite book?
It would be Thirst. Yeah,
Thirst. Yeah,
yeah. I have a bunch of favorite books, but usually people don't like a huge book list, or else they don't go and take action on it. So I think Thirst is definitely, that's the one that's transformed my life the most, I would say. Nice.
When did you realize you wanted to be coaching public speaking?
For YouTube specifically or just in general?
In general.
Yeah, in general. So what happened was I wanted to win competitions. So when I was in university, I wanted to get a job in consulting or banking. These are the top jobs out of business school, right, that everyone wants. It's just the issue is not many people get it. But most of the people who do these types of competitions. That's why we compete. But then it slowly became an obsession. So public speaking wasn't something I was necessarily passionate about at the beginning, but it was rather something I loved or started getting into because I had a talent for it. I was just really good. Not at the beginning, obviously, as you can tell from my story with the whole French and struggling with public speaking my whole life. But when I started getting into competitions, because I'm someone who's very competitive, I just said, wow, like this is amazing. I love this speaking. I love being great at this. I love refining every little syllable of every little word of what I was saying. And it just became an obsession. So it was competitions that started my spark there.
Let's think of like almost anything you can do, like it's like takes practice, really.
Absolutely.
Like with public speaking and with like leadership skills, that's great for like business settings and colleges and everything.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, I find the big mistake a lot of presenters make is, let's say it's Wednesday and you have a presentation for Friday. Your boss or your professor comes up to you and says, Tanner, I need you to build this slide. So you spend a couple of days, you got like clickety clackety, you try and figure out some slides. You present it, and then what happens? You go to the next presentation. Whereas in sports or in really any endeavor, you really spend a lot of time on the fundamentals, which means if you're doing karate, you're going to kick that same kick 1,000 times. If you're playing soccer, you're going to kick that ball in the same way 1,000 times. But in presentations, for some reason, we just do it once and we go, okay, next presentation. But we don't. But the best speakers in the world, like Gary Vaynerchuk or Tony Robbins or Seth Godin or Mel Robbins, what they all do is they present the same thing over again and over again. Like Gary has been presenting the same exact speech for 10 years.
Wow.
Right? So repetition is excellence. You need to practice the same thing over and over again until it's perfect.
Exactly. Like you practice, you like get those, like your memory gets better of how to do it. And you, like every practice iteration, like you find like different nuances to like how to, like you're saying, how to say different words and timing, everything like that, and how to, your tone, how you say it, and everything. It's
absolutely,
yeah,
right. And that comes with practice and time and having the right tactics, you know, whether it's for my videos, whether it's a Toastmasters club, whether it's any resource you choose to use, you need to keep building up your perspective on how to present properly and keep upping your game.
What's been what is your favorite speech in history?
So there's a lot. I love watching Scott Harrison's keynotes personally. So Scott's one of my big mentors, and I look at him a lot as an inspiration. I also like Seth Godin stuff. So Seth is he's a huge marketing expert in the world. Sells millions of copies of his books. He has one of the most famous blogs in the world as well. He's a great speaker, really amazing. So those two. So I would say Scott Harrison and Seth Godin.
How are you today? What's going on with you?
Life is good, man. I think, you know, just working while we're getting things started, you know, just focused on the grind, focused on how can I increase the reach of what I'm doing. So I'm very particular in the sense I'm always working all the time because that's just what I enjoy doing. But yeah, other than that, life is always great. I get to spend time with my family. I live with them all the time, so I get to balance my time properly between family and work.
Yeah, I still live at home too, and stuff is expensive, as you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Plus, she's like, my mom's like 65 and handicapped, and she couldn't afford this place without me. Anyway, and I get my own place one day. I don't want to put her out in her home. Put her out in the home. So I love my mom. Like, I'm sure you love your parents too.
No, I'm with you. I think that's the thing that we have messed in society, right? Because society tells us to move out at a very young age.
Yeah.
So basically, so this is one of the things I'm asking people to question, right? So you're telling me there's a rent that's $1,000 a month, and you're telling me to go somewhere else and pay another $1,000 a month, and then be able. So I think the idea is just pick what you like. Like the thing that I love about living with my mom, my sister, and my grandpa is like we all live in the same house, and I don't know how long my mom's going to be alive. I don't know how long I have with her. I could have 20 years, 50 years, 3 years. And what's great about this time is I can spend every day with her, right? I don't need to move out and live. Everyone that said they need to move out and gain their independence, well, they're living alone now, and it probably sucks right now with COVID and everything. So I think the idea is just do what works for you. You know, do what works for your life. And my life is great because I can spend all day on the business. My mom helps me with all the other day-to-day chores, whether it's, you know, dinner or things like that. And I pay all the bills. So it works well for all of us.
Yeah, I don't know how long I have with my mom. She's like you said, like 20 years from now, or like Lord forbid, like tomorrow she'll get hit by a car.
Which is people don't spend enough time internalizing that, I find.
Yeah. short. Yeah, like I think last year, like two of my friends died in car accidents.
Oh, wow. Sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, it sucks. Like, and one of them, another friend committed suicide.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a crappy year.
Yeah, clearly. Jeez. Yeah, I think that's the thing. We're all going to have hardships in our life, right? Whether you're, you know, like my dad was an alcoholic when I was young. Like, you know, we all have struggles. I think it's all about understanding what we're trying to achieve with the limited time we have. And if that cause and that vocation is strong enough, it doesn't matter what happens or what gets in our way. We're still going to find a way to get through the finish line.
Keep, like, on the door. You got to keep swimming.
Got to keep swimming. That's the key. It's an interesting analogy. I'll take it.
What's your favorite? This is a podcast about monsters and stuff. I think I should ask at least one later question. What's your favorite monster?
Oh, geez. My favorite monster.
Yeah.
This is going to be an odd answer. But I would probably say me.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is, like, I find, like, a lot of people ask me, like, what's the biggest misconception that they have about me? And I would say, I'd always say that the biggest misconception people have about me is that I'm a nice person, which isn't true. I like helping people. I find it entertaining. But I have that monster-esque quality about me that I enjoy, because Master Talk is a lot more than just helping other people. It also fulfills myself in a selfish way, right? And it also allows me to create a game where I can beat all the other speech coaches and take pleasure from that. So I guess in many ways I am a monster and I take pleasure in knowing that. So I think that's my two cents there.
I like that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty selfish with this podcast because, all I want to do is, like, just talk to people and hear their stories and stuff, and it's been working out pretty well.
There you go.
What's your, you listen to podcasts a lot?
Oh, yeah, a lot. I listen to 2 hours of podcasts a day, actually.
What are some of your favorites?
So I listen to three mostly, but I listen to a bunch of others. But I'd say the three big ones is Lewis Howes' School of Greatness, Seth Godin's Akimbo, and Tom Bilyeu's Impact Theory.
Oh, which one are, for those that don't know about those three, what are they all about?
Yeah, for sure. So Lewis is about, so Lewis is one of the early podcasters in the day with, like, Joe Rogan and every one of those characters. And so Lewis, what he does is he interviews a lot of famous people or different places, different areas of life. So one of his shows, he brought on a divorce lawyer, which is super interesting, right? He talked about, you know, how to avoid divorce, how to think about, even if that was something I was ever going to get into, but you know what I mean? Like, it was just super interesting the way that he thinks, the way that he interviews people. But more on the famous side, like, he's interviewed people like Kobe Bryant. Wow. You know, before he passed away. So what's interesting about Lewis is he's able to extract information that no other interviewer can get out of them. So let's say, for instance, Lewis is interviewing someone. He got Kobe to talk about love and intimacy. Since when does Kobe Bryant talk about love and intimacy, right? So I think Lewis does a great job with that. Tom Bilyeu as well, same thing. He has a very similar style to Lewis. It's just the way that he interviews is a bit different. And he brings on different people. He's amazing as well. He's the CEO of this nutrition company. Really like the way that he navigates and he thinks about his guests. And the third one is called Seth Godin's Akimbo. So Seth is a huge marketing expert. And Akimbo is basically a 20-minute episode every week where he just riffs on a topic. He's a very great thinker. I really love the way that he thinks about life and he thinks through problems. And I've listened to all of his episodes, so it's been fun.
Those sound super interesting. I love podcasts. And, like, I'm going to check those out later.
Yeah, I'll link them to you after this call.
Nice. So, what makes, like, your YouTube videos different from other videos on public speaking?
All right, now you asked me the million-dollar question. So there's a bunch of stuff, but I would say the big one is that. Well, actually, there's a bunch. So the first one is production quality, right? I invest 25% of my salary into Master Talk. That's how much I believe in it, because I really want my videos to be timeless in case something happened to me, right? So I want to make sure these videos are timeless. That's one. Two, I'm the only YouTuber who posts once a week on public speaking. There is literally no one else on this platform who are posting consistently every week on public speaking, which is ridiculous. And I would say the third thing is I try and make public speaking fun, educational, and innovative. So a lot of my videos are very weird in the sense of I have a video called The Three Lessons I Learned from Karaoke that apply to any presentation. I have lessons that I share with people. And the way that I speak about communication is very new as well. It's fresh. So let's say, for example, you asked me how to organize a talk. I would tell you that public speaking is like a puzzle. A lot of people, or the people who start puzzles the first time, you know, an actual puzzle, they don't start with the middle first, right? They do the edges, right? They do the edges first because it's easy. Public speaking works in the same way. A lot of people waste their time shoving content into their speeches and hoping it falls under the time that they need to speak it in. And what this happens is they ruin the conclusion because they're just trying to funnel through as much content as possible. But instead, if you intentionally ask yourself, what's my introduction going to sound like? And what my conclusion is going to sound like, the edges of your puzzle are going to be well defined so you can finish the entire thing and make a masterpiece. So these types of analogies have never been discussed before. So you get a lot of that from my channel.
Trying to get educational.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
What's been the easiest, hardest part of starting a YouTube channel?
Hardest part, definitely the insecurity that I had. So I started Mass Talk when I was 22. Right? It's a very young age to teach communication to people. So who am I to do this? And the answer is very simple, right? I knew more about communication than everyone else, so I was entitled to teach it. But at the same time, I didn't have a PhD. I didn't have the qualifications. I didn't have any of these formal trainings, right? So I was very scared to post. And I also got a lot of hate email from university professors, kind of odd, whole other thing. But the idea is simple, right? Like that, it was getting over that hump of just posting the first time. But after you do that,
whatever,
then you're off to the races, right? You're off to doing whatever you need to do. Easiest part, I would say building a team around Master Talk. And this is just good advice for people. If you're just a good person, you'll have a good network.
Yeah.
If you have a good network, they'll help you achieve what you want to do. So the person who does my videos is my best friend, right? So my quality, my production qualities is very, very high for my niche because I have a friend who gives me a severe discount because he's my friend, right? Yeah. So I think it's good to have those people in your corner. Same thing with my designer, the guy who does my thumbnails and my logo. He did my logo for free, not because he's trying to get business from me, but because he's my buddy, right? Yeah. So I think that was the easiest thing, was building a team around what I was doing.
Does MasterTalk have a website?
Yeah, it's mastertalk.ca, but honestly, the YouTube channel is probably where people should go. There's not much on the website, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I know. Like, having websites, like, especially with, like, mobile stuff today, like, I don't know how many people who, like, actually go to websites that often anymore. They're usually, like, on YouTube or, like, with me, like, some kind of podcasting app. Apple or iTunes or Spotify, whatever. It's like, I barely ever get any traffic from my website, if any.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I just focus on the channel.
So you post every week. So what days of the week do you usually post the videos up?
Yeah, I post every Sunday at 4:30 Eastern.
That's nice. Like, it's a really smart time because everyone's like pretty chill out on Sundays. You sit back and get some knowledge.
I will point out there is no methodology whatsoever. I just wanted to post on Sundays. So. Yeah. So people overcomplicate things. They go, oh, I need to get the gear, the camera. No, you just need to post a video and figure out the rest after.
Yeah. Like podcasting, like, everyone's like, oh, you need to get whatever it is that they use for microphones, not the USB ones, but the other ones. What's it called? Auxiliary? No, auxiliary. Auxiliary?
It could be. Once again, see, I don't even know this stuff. My friend just does all my audio stuff now, except this mic that I use for podcast shows.
Yeah.
I have no idea what gear he's using, and I'm glad I don't, to be honest. It doesn't play to my strengths.
Yeah. It's like, oh, and then you get this and this and this, and then you get this, and hook up this, and then you hook up to your computer, and it's like, oh, yeah, it costs about $5,000. Like, what? I was trying to, what? Like, I don't know if this is...
Nah, I'm with you, man.
What's been your like your favorite thumbnail in one of your videos?
Huh, no one's asked me that. I would say probably the one that's going to come out in 2 months about online presentations. There's like a cool computer on the thumbnail. So it's, yeah, my designer does a good job with them. I love all of them, to be honest, but if I had to pick one, probably that one. Nice. They're all made by the same person anyway. So. Yeah.
I didn't get thumbnail guy. I'm planning to launch a YouTube channel in like October or whenever this first season ends. Come on. Have we been talking for an hour? Seriously? What the hell? Wow.
Time flies, man.
Yeah. I learned a lot. So you're on Instagram. You're up in there. You're on Instagram a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So for everyone who's interested in connecting, I'm not famous like Tanner over here. So feel free to just message me on Instagram. I'm at Master Your Talk. I'm very accessible. I answer all my DMs. So if you just want to say, hey, you just want to connect, ask me a question, feel free. And if you want to check out my YouTube videos, it's Master Talk in one word. So if you have any feedback for me, feel free to send that by as well.
Oh, this is a capitulation. One of the other things sent me an email. Is it M and capitulation M and T matter? Or does that really matter?
Oh, yeah. I'd prefer you just message me on social media. I get too many emails. Yeah. Yeah. It's message me on social.
Social media has been crazy this week.
Sorry?
Social media has been crazy this week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, especially with somebody got caught sending some bad stuff to people. I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think we live in very interesting times right now, and it's important to stay focused on what we want to do, especially now.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the future on like on COVID and stuff?
Yeah, for sure. So I definitely think about this a lot. I think the idea at the end of the day, if I were to simplify this for people, is COVID is an accelerator. So it's an accelerator in everything, whether it's, you know, shopping trends that we're seeing. So a lot of the times, a lot of people, like old people who had never wanted to shop online, now they're forced to, right? So everything that we're supposed to see in 10, 15 years is happening now. So there's an accelerant. But it's not just an accelerant for technology. It's also an accelerant for our lives. So what happens with most humans is they follow the status quo and then they wake up at 50 and they go, where did my life go? Why did I do all of this? What COVID is great for is it forces everyone to ask the question now because you can't move anymore. So now you're forced to sit down in your house and go, is what I'm doing actually what I should be doing? And hopefully you find some new insights out of that.
I never thought about that. So, yeah, because like even before COVID, there was like online shopping. You can like order from grocery stores and you pick it up. Even before COVID, now everybody's like forced to do that, and it's like it's innovating new technologies like this, like FaceTime meetings and what's that? Oh, driving by.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Take advantage of every opportunity you get. I think that's my take.
Where can people find you at?
Yeah, so feel free to just message me on Instagram if you want to connect. I'm at Master Your Talk. If you want to check out my YouTube channel, it's Master Talk in one word.
Nice. Every Sunday at 4 p.m.? Right?
You got it. 4 or 4:30. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. I just post every Sunday. And but there's a bunch of videos already up, so feel free to just check those out.
Sure, people. I really hope you guys give him Master Talk a listen. Watch some views. Comment on how amazing and what you learned in each video. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be great.
It's yeah. Oh wait, comments are really helpful, aren't they?
They are. I mean, it's just great. It's just, it's more just a good reminder to see what kind of impact you're making.
Yeah. Like what works and what doesn't, for sure.
Absolutely.
And I had a great time. I had learned so much from this conversation. I want to thank you so much for coming on and having a conversation with me.
My pleasure, Tanner. Thanks for having me, man.
Have a good one, man.
You too, brother. Take care.
Take care.
Well, now that you know where you never should roam, sleep safely, but keep one eye open in case they still follow you home.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Monster Legend Podcast. In order to find more information about Monster Legend Podcast, go to monsterlegendpodcast.com or anchor.fm/monsterlegendpodcast. There you can find all episodes and platforms on which the podcast is on, which you can subscribe to. You also can email me with questions that will be answered on the show. Thank you.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.